Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name's Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. It's a real pleasure today to welcome Tony Nieves to our podcast. Tony is a good friend of Logistics Management and serves as Chair of the Institute for Supply Management's Service Business Survey Committee. And he wears many other hats, too, including serving as the CEO of Five Star Home Health Incorporated, a leading home health care agency in Southern California, which provides comprehensive medical care and support for patients with chronic diseases and post-acute care needs. Tony also serves as a principal of Convergence Investments, LLC, a diverse investment strategy company with a concentration in the services sector, including supply management consulting, healthcare, and hospitality management. Tony also has previously served as Chief Procurement Officer and Senior Vice President of Supply Management for Hilton Worldwide, where he was responsible for end-to-end supply management services and solutions for all properties within the Hilton Hotels portfolio. Tony, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks very much, Jeff, for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here today. So, Tony, just to get things started, for those who don't know, we at Logistics Management talk to the Institute for Supply Management every month for their two different reports, one being the Manufacturing Report on Business, in which I interview their Tony's manufacturing counterpart at ISM, a gentleman named Tim Fiore, as well as Tony, and we talk about the services sector economy as it relates to many things. So with that as a backdrop, Tony, can you help us out and let our audience know sort of what exactly is the services ISM report on business in terms of what are its objectives and what it covers?
Great, will do. Well, to give you a quick background and history about the report on business, it first came about in 1931, the reason being that the then National Association of Purchasing Agents was asked by the federal government, as we were in the midst of the Great Depression, to come up with some information that would help the federal government. And ISM has continued that role even to this day with its civil responsibility in working closely with the various government agencies. And so the report first came out strictly for manufacturing. And then back in the 80s, after tracking 10 years of history, they formatted one for the non-manufacturing sector, which most recently has been renamed the services sector. So what we do is we take these various indexes that measure different components of the supply chain and supply management, and we measure that change month over month. And we look at trends, and we get survey respondents to contribute both comments and fill out information related to the various indexes so that we can measure that change and go through an analysis and look at what is happening out there across the spectrum in the services sector for the domestic U.S. And keep in mind that for those that aren't familiar with the report, the indexes are diffusion indexes. So the baseline is 50. So anything above 50 is measuring growth, is reflecting growth, and anything below 50 is reflecting contraction. And with the diffusion index, we're taking, we ask our respondents, you know, is it better, the same, or worse, or higher, the same, or less? And again, that's changed month over month. So it doesn't, it, by using a diffusion index, it eliminates any bias in one direction. And that's how we come up with these different indexes. And we also have a composite index for each sector, manufacturing, non-manufacturing. And the composite index for the services, I should say, is measured 25% equally. And that's business activity, new orders, employment, and supplier deliveries, each weighted at 25%. And that formula came up based on various algorithms and looking at how which indexes correlate most closely to the trends of GDP over a 10-year period of time. So hopefully that helps.
Okay, great, great. Listeners. So to provide some context, Tony, what are some of the things that, for example, our readers should be taking away from this report? And I mean sort of the logistics and supply chain types, the shippers, the carriers, the third party logistics services providers. What are some of the chief action items that they should be looking at when assessing sort of what's going on out there in the economy?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, keep in mind that this services sector has in there of the 18 industries, warehousing and transportation, as well as wholesale trade, retail trade. So there is direct correlation to the logistics piece here. And those indexes most reflective of that, as I mentioned, supplier deliveries, backlog of orders, inventories, and that goes hand in hand with what business activity and new orders are. So I would always say for the audience that looking at new orders, business activity, composite index itself, and how is that related to, or how does that correlate to things that deal with logistics, such as supplier deliveries, backlog, and inventories.
Okay, great, great. So taking that as a backdrop, let's talk about sort of 2020. And I know there's probably not enough time to do that, but specifically, if we could take sort of a look back, going back to mid-March at the onset of COVID-19, to now, and I know today you came out with your report, services report for the month of August. If we were to look back in mid-March, that is, to now, what have been some of the notable ebbs and flows or high and lows, if you will, as it relates to the report and to the services economy at large, if you will?
It's a great question, Jeff. And when you look back to when the pandemic truly hit the country, it was the month of March. And we didn't even feel the total impact of it in that month, because the first half of the month, we still had some decent activity and decent numbers. And then as businesses were shut down across the country, it was the latter part of that month. So the composite index actually came in above the 50 baseline for March, but it wasn't truly reflective of what was happening and where it was going, only because we missed out on the latter part of the month. We then went through April and May, which was 2 months coupled with March, where we saw a really sharp downturn. And that was across the board on just all the indexes, most notably business activity. We saw employment really plummet down to the lowest ever reading that we had, down to 30, which 20 points below the baseline. And this sector, this services sector, is very labor intensive and reliant on labor, one of the key variable expenses for the sector overall. And then when you look at that, coming out of April, May, June, we had some positive uplift as businesses started to reopen and started to adapt the ways they were conducting business. Certain industries were definitely hit harder than others. So June, July, and now August, we've had 3 months of successive growth, consistent growth coming from, especially with the sharp uptick that we had last month, and just a little bit of a pullback in that rate of growth going into as a result of the August readings. So going forward, the indications are based on a leading index such as new orders at 56.8, even though still down 10.9 percentage points from the 67.7, the indication is that we'll see continued growth moving forward. What remains to be seen is how strong will that growth be, whether or not we'll see a vaccine, whether or not businesses will reopen closer to pre-pandemic capacity, because right now they're operating at 25 to 50%, depending on the industry. And where capacity and revenue will be down the road.
Okay. And you had touched upon that new orders number from today's report, which is for the month of August. we've had three straight months of growth in the services sector. The numbers have fluctuated here and there, but on balance, they've been very strong. Some metrics saw some sequential declines from July to August, but all still in a really good spot. So if we were just to talk just for a second about the August report, how would it be best described or characterized? Sort of a continuation of the last two or three months of growth, things sort of pointing in the right direction, although with the caveat of some concerns as it relates to consumer spending or the ongoing impact of COVID. What's the best way to be looking at that?
I think overall, when you see this report, we had such a strong rate of growth prior to this, and keeping in mind that we came from pretty much rock bottom, right? March was in April was rock bottom, and all efforts have been put forth to resurrect this economy, because the economy was going very strong pre-pandemic. We are not at pre-pandemic levels. Again, we're measuring that change month to month. We've had a little bit of slowing in the rate of growth across certain indexes, more so in other indexes, like new orders coming down to 10.9%. But because we're measuring change and that baseline moves every month, it's still better than where we were last month. We've reflected growth. So it can't stay at that high level of growth. It's got to have some kind of pullback just because we had that first initial uplift. And going forward, this report tells us from the New Orders Index that we'll see continued growth. What we don't know is some of the variables in the mix. Number of COVID cases, yes, it's decreasing. That's why we're starting to see more businesses reopen. If we maintain that trend of COVID cases going down, if in fact the vaccine is on the horizon, whether it be 2-3 months from now or several months from now, that remains to be seen. But overall, all indications are we're going to continue to see growth. We don't know if we'll see another federal stimulus come into play once Congress reconvenes. There's all these different factors that come into the mix. But from the report itself, the indications are we're going to stay on this path of growth going forward.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, the growth path is certainly highlighted when you look at the for the month of August, specifically 15 of the 18 services industries that weigh in and service respondents report indicated that they reported growth in August. So, you know, there's a wide range there. And this is just for our audience. I mean, we're talking about sectors ranging from retail trade to arts, entertainment and recreation, utilities, agricultural, forestry, fishing and hunting, real estate, among many others. So it's a pretty wide swath of different services sectors that are all speaking into this. And there's isn't it fair to say there's a lot of common themes regardless of the sector that they're coming from, Tony?
Very much so. You can see that in the manufacturing report that was just released on the 1st of September, 2 days ago, there is correlation between the two sectors, seeing certain indexes that even though they're for each of the respective sectors and the industries correlated to that or comprised of that, I should say, there is a common theme even between the two reports. And that bodes well for the overall economy because most of it is positive news.
Absolutely. And that's a good point. And just before we wrap up, for those who don't know, the ISM also produces what they call their semi-annual report, which I believe comes out in, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, I believe that it comes out in the April-May timeframe, and then again, perhaps in December. And Tony, if you could just tell us a bit about the semi-annual and sort of how it differs from the monthly ISM reports.
Sure. And that's a great point that you bring up the semi-annual report. And you are right, spot on with the April-May timeframe and the December timeframe for each of the semi-annual releases. And we measure slightly different things with the semi-annual. The semi-annual is we're asking our respondents to look back the previous year, the prior 6 months, looking forward 6 months, and then looking forward again a year out. And we measure certain things such as that are different from the monthly report related to inventory to sales ratio, revenue, capacity. We want provisional capacity is one of the things we measure, operating rate, different things, but it gives the members and the membership as well as the government and others a good outlook as to what we see happening, looking back and then looking forward.
Great, great. All right, well, listen, Tony, I think we're at the end of our allotted time for today's podcast. On behalf of Logistics Management and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I'd like to extend a big thank you for participating in the Logistics Management podcast series today.
Thanks very much for having me on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you that are on Twitter, please feel free to give ISM a follow. It's simply at ISM, capital I, capital S, capital M. And of course, Logistics Management is at Logistics MGMT. And also, please feel free to check out our podcasts wherever you get them. And it's simply search for Supply Chain 24/7. And you can find a whole host of podcasts across the whole Peerless Media portfolio. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.